Warning, the podcast you're about to hear is very filthy. We say naughty words you'll eventually use as an adult anyway. It'll cause you not to eat your vegetables, and your mom generally thinks it's a bad idea. Any moment within the show that has any similarity to the history of any person living or dead or any actual events is entirely coincidental and unintentional. Except where specifically noted, otherwise in the cast and crew credits, all celebrity voices are impersonated and no celebrities have endorsed any aspect of this show.
This is Hulk Hogan, host of American Gladiators, and you are listening to The Good, The Bad, and The Geeky with Nick, Jimmy, and John. It's awesome, brother.
Brother, why do you have to come in and steal my catchphrase?
What are you talking about, brother?
I call everyone brother, brother.
Hey, brother, I've been calling everybody brother for much longer than you've been around, brother.
Well, brother, you faded into obscurity years ago. It's my phrase now, brother.
Gladiators is a smash hit, brother.
I'm just saying, you're stealing my thunder, brother. Lost is a hit too, you know. Raw ratings are back up, brother.
That's your opinion, brother. But Hulkmania's back, so back off.
Someone say Hulk?
Oh, no, brother, now you've done it.
I am the one and only Hulk, brother.
Tiny man, funny.
Who are you calling funny, brother?
I'd get out of here if I were you, brother.
Brother, you better back off now, green and ugly.
Hulk, angry. Hulk,
oh. Smash. And now back to the good, the bad, and the geeky, brother.
Recorded live.
Hey everyone, welcome out to another Good, the Bad, and the Geeky. I'm your host with the most, Nick Nitro. Along, a creator of Dribble for Kids, along with me, is the author of the book, An Actor's Nightmare, or the series An Actor's Nightmare, Jim Daly, and also our band leader and overall kick-ass guy, John Bateen.
What happened to our studio? It looks like something smashed with the bits.
I know.
Well, you know.
At least the microphones are
and
short.
It looks like somebody had this period happen on the carpet.
The Hulk was not on his period. It was not.
I'm just not going to say anything else at this time. I'm just going to leave it as is.
It looks much better than it.
I'm sure it did.
Anyway, we got lots of crap here.
I know, we got lots of crap. So, and we're sort of like... Go right ahead, man.
A quick update on my Star Trek reviews. I'm not doing a season for months because it's too aggressive on this schedule. I'm lengthening my reviews.
Right.
It'll be a 5-year mission if we go Star
Trek. You know, Jimmy, take your time.
And it, if you are married, that's why they haven't been. It's just too much.
And it is to note that we are going to do the Valentine's Day. Matter of fact, after this episode is done recording, we're going to go ahead and work out on a date to do the for those who are in the movie club, which is not really officially 100% functioning right, but I mean we're still open to the public. So,
who was picking?
Well, we all decided it was like it'd be a romantic movie, so it would be Sabrina. Right. And then after that, it's your movie. And matter of fact, you'll announce the movie when we actually do the recording. He knows, but he won't tell us.
Sure, I can see.
He lies. But beyond that, though, Dribble for Kids news related, there's one thing to just point out real quick. Due to MegaCon and also other things, aka I'm lazy, it's still only one update a week, and that's every Friday. So.
And John, I saw your wife was on Sylvia Pennant's bed wife, but you're a sex
cut lady. Oh,
yeah. Can James still appear on the side of your face?
She was.
But she was, like, losing some other guy. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything to say about that?
No.
It's just how the biz rolls, ain't that right, John?
Anyone that we like.
There you go.
Oh.
If anybody could see John's face, he said that it was quite cute.
Classic.
Do you have any
John.
Updates coming out with your porn collection?
No, I'm in semi retirement right now.
Well done.
When is the John Jenna movie going to be released?
I don't know, Jimmy.
I had all that I can stand, and I can't stand no more.
John's like, yeah, you take this joke way too far.
He's like, this joke was not even funny 4 days ago.
Like,
hey,
ago,
kick-ass something that has no relation to do with anything, but John, I know you appreciate it, and we have to get a Die Hard reference in there.
The guy from who played the Shredder in the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
He's on Eli Stone. He plays Dr. Chen.
Oh, really?
Yes. And he is in Die Hard with a Vengeance as the Korean proprietor.
Oh, that's him?
Yes.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
That's badass. Hey. So next time you see him, make sure you welcome and say, it's like, hey, you played the Shredder and I saw you Die Hard with a Vengeance. Okay, I'm sorry. Yes, and the sequel wasn't him, though, but that's okay because the sequel was very bad.
Anyway. Skipping the emails today because we have so much to cover.
Yes.
Our show is.
You know, I'm just going to let you you roll and just chime in when
we.
The
strike is, of course, over.
Yay!
So, what episode title were we like? Number 12? This is number 12 of the end of the writer's strike?
Thirteen.
Okay, we're 13.
I don't know, I have to look it up. Maybe 14.
Part 13 of 13 of the writer's strike.
This is the last
The one. Finale.
Yeah, this is the. Well, I don't know, because we only got really deep summer from CBS and NBC. We're still by deep summer from NBC, Fox, and CW by
NBC. They haven't turned to it yet.
Yeah, I mean.
Of course, because we're so tight with the studios.
The people. We don't, like, pull them off of the newspaper or off of whatnot.
Like, any cool news. Anyway.
Harlan Ellison, though, is speaking out against the strike. I don't know if you are aware of who Harlan Ellison is. He's an award-winning writer.
Enlighten me, James.
I know him.
Please.
What I know him for.
Do a little pipe and.
Is he wrote the original. The original Star Trek episode in the 60s, City on the Edge of Forever. Which,
that is why I don't know him.
No, he's written way more than that.
Oh, okay, you're going to tell me more.
Good. Yeah. He won, I think it was an Emmy. He won, that was like, won that year for best writing for an episode.
He,
like,
he won Emmy?
A lot of people's most...
I thought Sally was only up for grabs.
Their best show of all time. But he's mostly works in science fiction circles. But even
get to the kick-ass quote. That's funny. That's funny.
Anyway, the other quote is funny. He disagrees with the strike. He was one of the people that voted against signing. Because there were, you know, I mean, it passed by an overwhelming majority. But there was...
293 people who voted against the strike to end.
And but he left this. He contacted one of his friends in the media and gave him this big long tirade about it. And I just pulled the funniest quote out of it. But this is a direct quote from Harlan Ellison. He says the writers got a bum deal. He says, and I quote, "You are their bitches. They outslugged you, outthought you, outmaneuvered you, and in the end, you ripped off your pants, painted your asses blue, and said, 'Yes, sir, may I have another?'" He was, complaining that after, you went on this big long strike and they didn't get what they were going for. And they took a crappy deal in the 80s and now they took another crappy deal.
Yeah, and like they said, like, after all the things they wanted to talk, they were trying to do, the WGA secret, like, sort of behind the scenes for the writers. Like, publicly it was released right away, but the writers didn't know they were taking off reality shows and animated shows off the ballot. And of course, that was a huge thing that the writers all voted on to put onto the ballot. So, so there's a bunch of other stuff, too, that they sort of fucked the writers over with. But anyway.
Absolutely. The only Fox note I have is 24 will not be back until next January. Mm-hmm. It had been thrown out that since that 8 episodes done, they might do a 12-episode season and rush and quick ending. Mm-hmm. But they deemed it was too expensive to
get
back.
How do they do a
quick
ending? Is it like a 5-minute episode?
No, instead of doing... instead
25.
They just... They take the final four episodes they had yet and rewrite them so it ends.
Okay.
But they said it was too expensive to
So it's like 23 and like.
It would have been 12. It would have been 12.
Oh, 12.
This season so like on 12.
Day. Right. But they said it was too expensive to ramp up production just for four episodes.
Now, is it half day daytime or nighttime?
They're not doing the fucking half day. That's the story. It was too expensive to ramp up production for four.
Jimmy, I'm confused. Isn't it 24 hours about a show that goes on 24 hours
so
a day?
So they'll save those 8 and do another 16 and release it next January.
Sorry.
Okay. I know you are.
Not really. I was just joking.
I have a couple of things on CW as well. They have officially canceled Life is Wild, which was a new show this year, and Girlfriends, which has run like four seasons.
Hasn't anyone learned that after Seventh Heaven ended, we needed no more shows about that? Yeah, I don't care if you add zoos and animals and all this stuff in the African Jungle. Yeah.
My sister used to come home from school and watch Girlfriends every day.
Really?
Yeah, well, it was very annoying.
It's over.
It's over. John, never again.
They did say some of their more successful series, which they haven't announced if they're coming back next season, but they're gearing back up production to start mid to late April. Gossip Girl, Reaper, Smallville, Supernatural, One Tree Hill. The Game will actually be back in March before the rest. And Aliens in America is not gearing back up, but they still have 8 more episodes that haven't aired yet because I guess they finished filming 18.
I don't get that at all because I thought the show was doing pretty good.
It is, but they had already finished filming 18. And they still had 8 they hadn't aired, so they said we're just going to use these 8. They haven't announced whether it'll be back next season, but it probably will. They're just not going to film more, because why start production when you already have 18 in the can?
Mm-hmm.
So they have 8 more of those to air. NBC, Oxygen is owned by NBC, the channel. Oxygen is going to do Olympic coverage this year. Which seems very strange to me, but NBC is like, well, let's use every season.
Because when I think of Olympics,
I think of Oxygen. Yes. I don't know if they're going to do figure skating or something.
Oh, wait. Actually, you sort of do. Not that, I mean, the word Oxygen, because you sort of need it to breathe, to run.
They said at least 6 to 8 p.m. they do coverage and stuff. But they
well played, covered. Oxygen executives. Well played.
I don't think they had a choice.
No, I don't think they did.
Quarter Life, the internet series, is still going to premiere on NBC March 2nd, as they had planned. But it will also premiere on MTV March 2nd. Both of those stations are owned by different parent companies. This is very strange that they're both premiering the same night. But they're going to go ahead and do it. I mean, it was an internet show. Yeah, it's an internet show that made by TV producers with a TV budget. It's been very successful, and I think they're doing like 6 or 8 episodes. But NBC and MTV both bought rights for it, and they're both premiering it March 2nd. Even though, you know, it would make sense if they were owned by the same studio, but they're not. They're just, other NBC shows coming back. Saturday Night Live will be back February 23rd next week with Tina Fey as the host, which kind of confuses me because 30 Rock's just ramping back into production. So she's going to go ahead and take a week off to do Saturday Night Live? Or is 30 Rock?
Well, it's in the same, they do everything in the same building, so she probably is doing double duty.
But Saturday Night Live is such a commitment. Rumor has it, and this is not confirmed, but the March 1st episode will have Ellen Page from Juno hosting. They've only done 4 episodes this season before the strike happens, so they have a lot of Saturday Night Live that they're going to try to squeeze in. I don't know how many. They haven't announced a total for this year, but they're going to do quite a bit. Mm-hmm. My Name is Earl will return with a 1-hour episode April 3rd. The Office, Scrubs, and 30 Rock, and ER will all return the following week, April 10th. The other 3 shows, and ER. Law & Order SVU will be back April 15th. The regular Law & Order, April 23rd. Chuck, Life, and Heroes, they're saving for the fall. None of those 3 will be returning, but they've been picked up for next season. So, Chuck, Life, and Heroes, all 3 of those shows we watched.
Well, the funny thing is that I'm curious if Heroes are going to start complete from scratch.
Volume 3. It'll be
Volume 3. Well, the thing is that they have 2 episodes almost, and they only need, seriously 10 more minutes for both episodes to be completed.
They'll be part of Volume 3.
But what I'm saying is, there's rumor that they're going to start completely from scratch for season 3.
It doesn't matter either way. 2 episodes isn't. What about Brian had an episode, and they was supposed to be a season finale. They didn't end up airing it. They finished it an episode early. They threw that out of the continuity and just went on with fresh. It's on the DVD. So weird because it doesn't fit with the continuity at all because they had filmed it and then they never aired it and they started from scratch the following season.
I like that kind of stuff where, what shit they fucked up on.
It was kind of neat because they went totally different ways with some of the major plots.
Oh, yeah. I really dig that stuff.
Even though it kind of bothered me because it didn't fit with the continuity. And I'm like, what's this?
Stupid continuity.
Moving to CBS. The CBS announced a whole slate of shows picked up for next season. Mm-hmm. They've renewed The Big Bang Theory, which is the only new show they're picking up for next season. Renewed Cold Case, Criminal Minds, all 3 CSIs, Ghost Whisperer, NCIS, Numbers, Woo-hoo! 2 and a Half Men. Without a Trace, Survivor, and Amazing Race will all be back next season. But a lot of those shows will be back this season, too. On March 17th, we're going to get How I Met Your Mother, Big Bang Theory, and 2 and a Half Men.
It is to note that shows that have not been canceled nor renewed for next season are Kane, How I Met Your Mother, Jericho, Moonlight, New Adventures of Old Christine, Rules of Engagement, Sharks, The Eunuch, and Welcome to the Captain.
Why report something? There's nothing to report.
Because it's just because some people might go, wait a minute, How I Met Your Mother's coming back, so that means it must be renewed. No, Jimmy, it's not. Not yet. Not yet. Oh, you know what? Journeyman was not renewed yet either.
Well, Journeyman's getting canceled. Kane's getting canceled.
It's not, Jimmy, it's not been officially said. It's not been officially said, Jimmy.
That's why we weren't supposed to talk about it. CSI Miami
will be back
March 24th. Cold Case will be back March 30th. Criminal Minds and CSI New York, April 2nd. CSI and Without a Trace, April 3rd. Ghost Whisperer and Numbers, April 4th.
Whew.
NCSI, or NCIS, whatever. I might type it wrong. April 8th. Moonlight, April 11th. Rules of Engagement, April 14th. And Shark will be back this season, but they haven't picked a date. It's TBA.
Gotcha.
And that is all the strike coverage I have. I have, several more news stories, but that's all the strike coverage I have. Do either of you have anything to add to
it? Strike-wise, no.
I do have some Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert.
You pretty much covered it all, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Everything that was released. In other news, Blu-ray has won. HD DVDs are dead.
Moment of silence.
No, No, Mom knows that. If you bought an HD DVD player,
I honestly heard that HD DVD from a lot of people, even Blu-ray people, prefer HD.
But HD discs. Is going the it's way of really Laserdisc. Cool. You have the HD, don't you?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, John.
I forgot.
We can do your.
I didn't buy it,
but yeah. Hey, you know what though? You have a collector's item now, sir. You have a collector's item. It'll so that's the upswing.
It's
look
be
at
like
this.
Beta.
Beta, yes.
Fuck yes, because everyone loves a beta.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm somewhat excited for is maybe HD DVDs will be on sale.
Yeah, they probably
actually,
will.
Yeah. Well, and the
will drop in price.
Whoops, sorry.
Clearance items. Now.
Unless they it becomes a huge collector's item, and then they'll soar in price.
Like LaserDiscs?
LaserDiscs soared after they were canceled? I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I
well, like 10 years afterwards LaserDisc, because they were
I
fucking collector's items.
10 years afterwards.
Hey!
Roger, Dead Like Me,
Roger Ebert loves this.
They produced two seasons on Showtime.
Yes, the show is great.
They are doing a sequel straight to
TV. Is Manny Patinkin taking part, or do they say that?
It did not say that, but three other major cast members.
Because he's sort of a douche with Criminal Minds.
Yeah. My name is Mantico.
Mantico.
Yeah.
Good, my father.
Your
Star Wars Clone Wars, the movie, hits theaters April 15th.
I'm to kill you.
And Cartoon Network is working on 30 new episodes of Toon Wars for the Clone Wars for the fall. To be honest, I saw most of part two and I really liked it. I liked the Clone Wars. They were better than the new movies they've been making. So I'm kind of excited. I may go see.
I wouldn't go that far.
I thought they were better than the new movies.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Star Wars Clone Wars.
Yeah, Clone Wars.
You don't know what you're talking about.
What do you mean?
I'm just being stupid.
My last news story was really John's news story.
Jimmy's response for anything.
American Idol.
Fuck
what did you hear about American Idol, Mr. T?
Amanda actually told me about it. And.
So I kind of remember
what she said, but it was something that, you know how American Idol is unsigned,
right.
You know.
Talent, yeah.
Hidden talent or whatever. Hidden talent. But, you know, talent that is undiscovered. Undiscovered, that's what I'm looking for.
Undiscovered talent, absolutely.
And I guess a majority of the people that made it to the final, you know, final group.
Yeah.
Have had contracts with major record companies, mm-hmm. like RCA.
Yeah, Arista, Arista.
Or like they, you know, they released a CD and it didn't do well.
Right.
But, I don't know, then there's like speculation that the companies are, like, they're finding out that these people are on the show now and they're like...
Payola,
yeah. Yeah, they're like putting them in. Or, you know, like, paying their way and all this
stuff. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. That's how they fucking roll, man.
Which I wouldn't be surprised if it's been like that.
That's
for
how top 40
years.
Songs get so popular. So, I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, since we flew through news so quick, let's go ahead and do our Oscar picks before the break.
Okay.
Oscars air next Sunday.
I need my...
I'm just going to write everybody's. I'll read them and then we'll talk.
Oh, okay.
On a master copy. Because
well, John, you're prepared, and I'm not.
Because this is Sunday evening, and the Oscars air next Sunday evening with Jon Stewart hosting, which I'm very excited about. We may or may not have seen the Oscars by the time we do our next podcast, so either next week or the week after, we're going to compare. And
I say we do a bet.
No copying my...
I say we make it sort of a bet.
What should our bet be?
Okay.
The loop,
who? Wait.
The lowest score has to do something humiliating on the air.
No, I wasn't going to do that far. Come on now.
True. I think that'd be funny.
That would be funny because we would like to see you lose. But I would say, let's make it something a little bit that everyone would also enjoy, at least on this end. People out, and we would have to do it while we're recording.
Okay. Whoever,
so it's torture.
Whoever loses has to sing, "So you had a bad day."
Okay. Two things. I like that idea.
The loser has to sing.
The loser has to sing, "I had a bad day,"
at
and they also have to buy pizza.
Okay.
Next time we record.
Okay.
And,
we'll
and beer.
Day.
Pizza and beer.
Pizza and beer.
Okay.
That's fair.
I'll add the beer if we take away the have a bad day.
No.
Because beer can be a little... pricey for pizza. I can understand.
Let's just do pizza.
All right, pizza.
Pizza and had a bad day.
That's for the loser. Do we have a prize for the winner?
With a full pizza.
Okay, now that there we go.
Good.
Hey, you know what though? We do have beer already left over that we've not.
We do have a little.
So that works. See, it's a win-win. It's a win-win.
Do we have a prize for the winner?
That is the prize for the winner. You know what? Watch. I'm gonna fucking horribly lose, and I'm gonna. You get free fucking pizza.
But those are the two winners. Only the loser has the bad rap.
The ultimate
The winner gets to
So wait a minute.
Maybe
so both losers Well, that's the thing. We all get to eat pizza, but the person who loses has to buy for him.
Lowest score has to buy.
Lowest score
has to have a bad day. The person in the middle gets nothing, but what's the winner? Winner should get something special. We should do something for the winner.
I don't. I thought the pizza was a good idea.
But then everybody gets a pizza. There needs to be something for the winner.
Jimmy's hoping he wins so he can get something.
I will think about it, and before the Oscar picks come out, we'll agree on the three of us will agree.
I'll give you a free copy of Lord of the Sweaters. There you go.
I already have one.
Because it's so exciting and new.
Okay, anyway, let's go.
Well, I'm going to win, so it looks like I'll get a copy.
Oh, there you go.
Let's do the picks. Performance by an actor in a leading role. The choices are George Clooney and Michael Clayton, Daniel Day-Lewis in There Will Be Blood, Johnny Depp and Sweeney Todd, Tommy Lee Jones in The Valley of Elah, and Viggo Mortensen in Eastern Promises.
I do enjoy a good naked fight scene in a shower.
I'm calling Johnny Depp.
With a it's cock.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
I'm going to be Daniel Day-Lewis.
Ooh, so I am dissenting.
You don't fuck with Daniel Day-Lewis when it comes to Oscar time. That bitch barely does a movie like Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Unlike Jodie Foster, he fucking wins an Oscar.
Yeah, but I'm going to, well...
Nope, can't change.
No. Yeah, you can't change.
I'm not going to change Daniel Day. I was just considering the other ones. I don't want to be it.
Is that your final answer?
That will be it. Okay, actor in a supporting role. Casey Affleck in The Assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford. Javier Bardem in No Country for Old Men. Philip Seymour Hoffman in Johnny Wilson's War. Hal Holbrook in Into the Wild. Tom Wilkinson, Michael Clayton. I got Hal Holbrook.
Okay.
Javier Bardem for me.
See, I want to go with that. But I feel it's Casey Affleck's year.
Ooh,
I'm
going to
go with
really?
Casey.
Do Hal.
You know what, though? I think John's probably going to win that one, but I'm going to be daring, and I'm going to go with Casey.
I'm doing Hal because he's in his 80s, and it's his first nomination. Him and Ruby Dee.
You know what, though?
You got to give him props because they're grandfathering him.
Ooh, yeah, but I already chose, so you know what?
Have you seen how many awards Javier Bardem has won?
No.
All of them.
Well, it's about time for him to stop winning. Okay, well, we have our choices. Actress in a leading role.
My old man beats your young man.
Leading role. Cate Blanchett in Elizabeth the Golden Age. Julie Christie in Away From Her. Marion Cotillard.
I don't know who
I'm choosing. La Vie en Rose. Laura Linney in The Savages. Ellen Page and Juno.
Ellen Page and Juno. That's mine. Ellen, that's mine.
All right, I'm going to say Julie Christie.
Oh, John, switching up. Now, I have a question, though. Is that what you originally wrote down?
I actually have both names down.
Do you really? Okay.
And Ellen Page.
Okay.
But since Nick and I are jumping on the Ellen Page wagon.
You're going to go to the Ellen Page.
Yeah.
Well,
we can share it.
Yeah, we can share
it. It's going to be overall.
No, I was just wondering because, hey, dude, you fucking came prepared with your list now, and you just gave that look like, I'm going to switch it up. So that's what I was asking.
From reading a little, doing a little...
Research. Good man.
That is the one category that is kind of up in the air for everyone. It's kind of between Julie Christie... And
Laura Linney wins.
Ellen
Page. Laura Linney is cool.
It's kind of one of those things, you know, she's young.
That's one thing, and she's young, so she has another chance to win. But
I can see Julie Christie.
Julie Christie hasn't won in a while.
Yeah.
A while.
Now I'm torn on this actress's supporting role. I want to go with Cate Blanchett for I'm Not There, but I also want to go with Ruby Dee for
I'm going with
Gangster.
Ruby Dee.
I'm going with Cate Blanchett.
Ooh, so I still haven't decided. We also have Saoirse Ronan.
Whoa, no. You need to decide now. That's the point of the...
Wait, I've got to finish reading. Amy Ryan and God Baby Gone, or Tilda Swinton and Michael Clayton. Cate or Ruby? Cate or Ruby? I'm going to decide with Nick. I'm going with Cate, I have to say.
I mean, no offense to Ruby Dee, but...
Sorry, I'm just...
No, it's
I did go with Hal Holbrook, but I wasn't impressed by American Gangster, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So
he don't like that American Gangster.
Best animated feature: Persepolis, Ratatouille, Surf's Up. I got Ratatouille.
Yeah, Ratatouille.
Nick, are you gonna make it unanimous?
I'm going to go with Persepolis.
Really?
Yeah, I don't want to.
You love Ratatouille.
I love Ratatouille, and I want it to win. As a matter of fact, I hope Oscars. I hope
to win. If you
get
to win,
yeah. What's going to win and what I want to win are two different things. Like, I want TMNT at least be nominated, and it's not even nominated. So,
but we're going for what we think's going to win, not what our award would be, because we want to win.
Yeah.
Achievement in art direction: American Gangster, Atonement, The Golden Compass, Sweeney Todd, There Will Be Blood. I'm calling Sweeney Todd on that one.
I am too.
Sweeney Todd.
Yay.
Unanimous.
Achievement in Cinematography, Assassination of Jess James, Atonement, Diving Bell and Butterfly, No Country for Old Men, There Will Be Blood.
What was the category?
Achievement in Cinematography. I'm going to say Diving Bell and Butterfly.
I'm going to say There Will Be Blood.
What were the options against her? There will be blood, Sweeney Todd, Butterfly.
There was no Sweeney Todd in this one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Assassination of Jesse James, Atonement, Diving Bell and Butterfly, No Country for Old Men, There Will Be Blood. Having not seen any of those, I'm going for Diving Bell and Butterfly.
Wow. I've heard that Blood,
I haven't seen, like,
any No Country, and Gangster. Name the first two again.
Assassination of Jesse James.
I'm going to go with that one.
Okay.
I heard, like, because, yeah.
Achievement in Costume Design. Across the Universe, Atonement, Elizabeth, The Golden Age, La Vie en Rose, or Sweeney Todd.
Ooh.
I'm going to say Across the Universe.
I'm going to go with
Atonement,
that.
Atonement.
I'm going to go with Atonement.
I'm going to say La Vie en Rose.
Ooh,
look at John.
Happiness.
Because the lady's dead now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
John's going to smoke our ass.
I think he is. We have sided too often together.
I'm not trying to purposely side with anybody. I'm just saying what I...
We keep hitting it. Achievement in Directing. Diving Bell and the Butterfly. Juno. Michael Clayton. No Country for Old Men. And There Will Be Blood. I'm going to say No Country for Old Men with the Coen Brothers.
I'm going to.
Oh, God. I don't know.
Nick doesn't want to go unanimous.
No. Well, that's not it at all. I really don't know. I think it's going to come down. I would love to see Reitman for Juno, but that's not going to happen. Yeah. And the Coen Brothers have won before. P.T. Anderson, though, is not. I'm going to go with There Will Be Blood.
Yeah. Okay. I love making choices on movies I haven't seen. Best documentary.
I'm going to go see that probably
Thursday.
I bet none
of us have seen these. No End in Sight. Operation Homecoming, Writing the Wartime Experience.
What, is this short or feature film?
Documentary. Best documentary.
Good luck here.
Sicko. Taxi to the Dark Side. Sicko. War Dance. Are you really?
War Dance.
Yeah, I'm going Sicko.
I'm not, because I liked Fahrenheit 9/11. I didn't see Sicko, but I don't think it's going to win. I'm going to say...
Sicko was very great.
Really?
Very great.
Sicko's the only one I've even heard of. So,
I'll be honest. That's the only one I...
I'm going to go for Operation Homecoming. Best documentary short. Freeheld. La Corona. Salem Baba.
La Corona.
I like the sound of Sari's mother.
La Corona. I like the sound of that Salem Baba, whatever it was.
I'm going to go with La Corona because it sounds good, like in a song.
The Crown translated.
La Corona. Boom, 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 boom.
2 minute
boom,
editing.
Boom, boom.
The Bourne Ultimatum. Diving Bell and the Butterfly. Into the Wild. No Country for Old Men. There Will Be Blood.
I'm going to go with Bourne Ultimatum.
I am too, actually.
Yeah, because that movie is fucking hard to edit.
Go for There Will Be Blood. Just because I decided.
And he hates the Bourne movies.
I'm guessing. I only hate the first one. I haven't seen a second one.
Why do you hate the first one?
I thought it was dumb.
Because you're gay?
That made no sense.
So is your response up to anything that pisses
Fish
you off? Fuck you! Fuck you! How was your day? Fuck you! You're gay. I have a girlfriend. Fuck you!
You have a girlfriend on the phone to prove I'm not gay.
My mom and dad came home one time, right? And the first thing out of his mouth was, "Hey, man, how you doing?" He's like, "You bastard! I mean, hi, I didn't mean that in any way. I was kidding. I was kidding." And I told mom, I was like, "You know, he's still a little worried that you're pissed at him." He's like, "I don't care. Jimmy's such a nice boy."
Okay, best foreign language film. Boma.
What the fuck was that laugh for? You're like, the best foreign language films. You're like Tom Cruise over there.
I haven't seen them. Okay, here we go. Beaufort from Israel. The Counterfeiters from Austria. Ketin from Poland.
When I see a foreign
Mongol
film in a category.
12, Russia. I'm going to say it's Kazakhstan here.
I'm going to go Mongol.
Yeah.
I am too.
Really?
Yes. I'm a Mongolian barbecue
fan. That, is that the whole reason?
That is the whole reason.
We have Kazakhstan because
they make damn good food.
Yes.
Beat up
little
by
side note, do you
Borat.
Know why they cook the food on that big flat grill with the little
stick
thingies?
Why?
Because in the old times with the Mongols,
mm-hmm.
they used to take their shields mm-hmm. and put them upside down over the fire, and
yeah.
use their sword to move the meat around.
Oh, that's neat. It is good.
So.
Food.
Now you know.
I was just trying to
So, if you had to be which Ninja Turtle to cook in the woods, would you be Leonardo, Raphael with a Sisk kebab, Donatello with a wooden bow, or Michelangelo with weird stick things? Sorry.
Achievement in makeup. There are only three choices. La Vie en Rose, Norbit, not Norbert, Norbit, and Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End.
La Vie en Rose.
La Vie en Rose.
See, I was going to go with La Vie en Rose, too, but I don't want to be a copier. I'm going to
just fucking choose Love Me and Rose.
No, I'm going with Norbert.
Now you're being a dick.
Norbit.
Norbert. Z, you fucking called it too, bitch.
It was Norbert.
You know what? I'm sorry. If we ever do a best of show, I'm taking that clip a little ago where you do that Tom Cruise laugh. I'm going to put it in there.
I hope that Norbit is
that's fucking
typo
great.
For Norbert. Or
when I see a category for foreign languages.
What is Norbit?
And Norbit is the one with Eddie Murphy.
When he plays
that was Norbert.
No, that was Norbit.
No, it was Norbit.
I'm not choosing that.
You're an idiot. You're a fucking
I'm going
idiot.
To the Caribbean.
He won already for
They're
like Nutty Professor,
win.
Like four.
They're not going to win, but I'm going to go with them because I don't want to be a copier with the La Vie en Rose. music. Achievement in music for Motion Pictures original score. We have Atonement, The Kite Runner, Michael Clayton, Ratatouille, 310 to Yuma.
I'm going to go with Ratatouille. Just because it's the only one I've actually heard, and I dig it.
I didn't write this down. What are the choices again?
Atonement, The Kite Runner, Michael Clayton, Ratatouille, 310 to Yuma.
This is for score,
I'm
right?
I'm going to go with Atonement, even though I haven't seen
it. Yeah.
Just because I've heard of that movie, and it should win something.
I will say... What are you looking up, Nick?
I want to see if there's the soundtracks are available, so we can listen to one track.
We don't have time. Not on the show.
We can edit it.
Michael Clayton.
Okay.
Michael Clayton.
Good choice. Next one. Achievement in Music, Rhythm Promotional Pictures original song. We have Falling Slowly from Once, Raise It Up from August Rush, Happy Working Song from Enchanted, So Close from Enchanted, and That's How You Know from Enchanted. All three Enchanted songs are Alan Menken and Steven Schwartz. I love them.
I'm gonna
Which
go.
Which of the three should I choose, though?
I'm picking actually the very first one, that Falling Slowly.
Falling Slowly from Once?
Yeah.
Actually, I'm gonna choose that too.
Copier. I want to choose something from Enchanted, but I can't decide which of the three. Because mm-hmm. I haven't seen it, so I don't know the music. Happy Working Song, So Close, or That's How You Know? I'm gonna say So Close. It sounds emotional. Which that from?
Atonement.
Best Picture of the Year. Too late to change. Best Picture of the Year. Atonement, Juno, Michael Clayton, No Country for Old Men, There Will Be Blood.
No Country for Old Men.
Gotta pick, Nick. Gotta pick.
I'm gonna choose Atonement.
You know what? I'm gonna go with Juno. I really feel...
Sneak in there, you know?
You know what? Mm-hmm. I hope so. Mm-hmm. I'm just gonna go with Juno. I know that's
we
not...
We didn't vote for Michael Clayton for anything.
Well, I think George Clooney would win, but of course, who he's up against this year is he just not he doesn't get put up against.
Now here's some other ones we haven't heard of. Best animated short film.
I already know this one. How to Make a Home Theater System.
Not a choice.
What the fuck? No.
It's not a choice.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Here's your answers. Best animated short film. I Met the Walrus. Madame Tootley Pootley.
It's just whatever one you think sounds good.
Meme les pigeons vont au paradise. Translation, even pigeons go to heaven. My Love, Moya Lovruf, or Peter and the Wolf. I'm going to say Madame Tootley Pootley, because I like that sound.
I'm going to say I'm at the Walrus.
I'm going to the last
I am the Walrus. Nice.
Last
Cuckoo
one.
Ka-choo.
Peter and the Wolf?
Yeah.
Okay. Cuckoo Ka-choo, Mrs. Robinson. Best live action short film. At Night, Il Supplente, which is the substitute in Italian, Le Mozart des Pickpockets, or The Mozart of Pickpockets, Tanguy Argentini, or The Tonto Woman.
The pickpocket one for me.
Sure.
Nick and John are doing the pickpocket.
No idea what you just said. I'm sorry.
I am going to choose the substitute because I am a substitute teacher.
Okay.
The achievement in sound editing. The Bourne Ultimatum, No Country for Old Men, Ratatouille, There Will Be Blood, Transformers.
Transformers.
No Country for Old Men.
John, Nick, I am going to go with There Will Be Blood. Why not? Achievement in sound mixing. The Bourne Ultimatum, No Country for Old Men, Ratatouille, 310 to Yuma, Transformers.
Oh, you know what? I told you the wrong one. I'm sorry. Sound editing. What was the sound editing choices?
Born Ultimatum, No Country for Old Men, Ratatouille, There Will Be Blood, Transformers.
Do Born Ultimatum for that one.
Okay.
And then for the sound mix one, I'm doing...
No Country.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's fine.
I'm going to go Born Ultimatum on this one.
Of course you are.
What the fuck you mean? Of course I am.
What does that mean?
I'm going 310 to UMass just so they can take home something. Because I was just teasing Nick as the born. Achievement in visual effects. Your choices are The Golden Compass, Pirates of the Caribbean at the World's End, or Transformers.
Pirates.
For the effects?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to go with Transformers. Mm.
And I am going to side with John.
I would say Pirates, but
the Golden
some of the shit
Golden
in Transformers is fucking badass.
We all get screwed in the ass. Adapted screenplay.
Yes. I saw a little screenplay thing on a garage
adopted
sale table, and I adopted it,
Angelina
and
Jolie
I made it a movie.
Adopted all of these from foreign countries. your choices are Atonement, Away from Her, Diving Bell the Butterfly, No Country for Old Men, There Will Be Blood. I'm going Diving Bell.
I'm gonna do No Country for Old Men.
What was it again for?
Adapted screenplay.
And what were the choices? There are No Country for Old Men. Diving Bell and Butterfly.
There Will Be Blood, Away from Her, Atonement.
I'm going to go with There Will Be Blood.
Nice. An original screenplay.
Juno.
Okay, nice.
Diablo Cody has that one fucking nailed, if anything.
The other choices are...
Watch it, we both get fucked on the ass on that one.
Well, my...
Diablo Cody's weird. She's weird.
My first inkling is to go for Juno too, but now I'm going to consider since you guys both jumped on it.
What the fuck? If you really think Juno's going to win, then you fucking mark it down as winning.
And the other choices are Lars and the Real Girl, Michael Clayton, Ratatouille, or The Savages.
Oh, and I love, like, three of those movies right there. Lars and the Real Girl was... I heard the original script was brilliant.
Yeah. I'm going to go for Lars and the Real Girl.
And, of course, Ratatouille was great, too.
It was, but it's not going to win. Might win for animated. It should win for animated.
I really do hope it wins, but I had this feeling that Paraphos is going to win.
Okay, so we've got a song for your break, and we've got a promo specially recorded by a couple friends of the show. No, wait, that was our intro. Never mind, we don't have a promo. We just have a song.
That scene will be partially edited out. If you hear a weird blank spot, now you know why.
The strike went on way too long. 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 I think that's the money. A whole lot of internet money. Wish they'd given them a lot more money to write a chart. Strike took time. A whole lot of precious time. Don't have any more patience. To do it, to write again, child. The strike went on way too long. 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 But it's finally all over. The strike is really, really over. The writer's strike is finally over. I hope the actors don't strike in the spring. The strike went on way too long. Way too long. The strike went on way too long. On too long. Shows will be back soon. Coming back around this April. But I'm very tired of waiting. I don't even want to wait till April. Strike went on way too long. Way too long. Strike went on way too long. 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 The strike went on way too long.
Okay.
And we're back.
Yes, we're back. John, that was a lot of fun to do. That was a great song. That was also written by our good friend Jimmy. Jimmy, I think the listeners out there are very thankful that you didn't.
Yeah.
I know. I'm taking this week off.
We're all excited
about
that.
And I'm taking this week off, too, for the song.
Thank God. We may have some old friends of mine back from my college days.
Mm.
Might have heard of them. They're the ex-presidents of the United States, but I don't want to say too much. Is that next week or the week after?
Next week.
Oh, that is next week. Okay.
Save it for the next week preview at the end.
Okay, okay.
Let's do our reviews. Nick, go ahead, review Jumper.
Okay. I wanted to see Jumper. It looked really neat, and I read the book, and the book was actually pretty good.
What crap.
And, well, you know what? Don't worry. I got a few things that you're going to review that I don't really care for either, and I'll make sure I'll do what you usually do to me.
It doesn't look like crap.
Well, I just saw you for the past like 4 episodes. Anyway, it wasn't bad. The fight scenes were cool where they're teleporting. Mm-hmm. My only complaint is that, and when you watch a movie and they spell shit out to you, like, it's so rudimentary. Like, yeah, boy likes girl. He gets dissed by everyone in school. No one likes him. His mother left him and his father. His father's a horrible dad. Mm-hmm. But usually it's like everyone wants to talk about it because in a movie you're supposed to show, not tell. Well, everyone tells, and then usually in these type of movies. The only problem is this movie, it's all show. And from the guy who did Mr. and Mrs. Smith, who wrote and directed that movie, you would think that he could do like he did there. High octane action, which he did, mm-hmm. and then deliver a good story which sort of shows and tells.
Did you watch Mr. and Mrs. Smith this week?
Not the edited version, no. Or the
unedited,
sorry.
Couldn't anyway, I mean, Doug Liman did a good job directing, but he's too much of a douche. Like, he opens up the movie, yeah, oh, my girlfriend doesn't, or the girl I like doesn't like me, and so I run away from home because I come from a bad home life. So I rob banks.
Yeah.
And I rob banks, and then when I grow up, I'm a total douche. Like, I'm watching Hurricane Katrina victims suffer on the TV, and instead of going on and saving them, I just sort of smirk and go get a glass of milk. Until Samuel Jackson comes in and starts beating the fuck out of him. And then he starts realizing, maybe I should have been doing this for good. But he doesn't really come out more. I mean, you're just like, oh, come on, fucking God. And until the point his family gets hurt, and then it starts becoming even worse. And the action scene's great. My dad really loved it. I told Dad, if you pay for my DJ Elk Dog, if you pay for my ticket, I'll see it again. But, nice. You know. Okay. But, yeah, it wasn't bad. I would rate at least seeing it maybe in the theater once, or like a dollar theater, or seeing it on DVD.
Cool. So. Ed Begley Jr. was uh-huh. in Columbus, Ohio. This yeah. week, at Otterbein. Uh-huh. Whatever, he's awesome.
Yeah, whatever.
He mm-hmm. did his Live Simply So Others May Live.
Uh-huh.
Talking about environmental stuff. You may know Ed Begley from Best in Show, A Mighty Win, for your consideration.
Uh-huh.
Boston Legal, 6 Feet Under, Arrested Development, The West Wing, The Practice, Veronica Mars, and so many others.
Yeah, okay.
Nick, you like a bunch of that crap.
Yeah, whatever. Mighty Win. Yeah, I don't care. I'm just doing what you always do to me because it is really.
I did not sit there and do that for your driver.
This is but the last 3 weeks, anytime I interview something that you don't really care about, you don't want to hear about, you
I push everything through. Uh huh. So we can get it.
Well, I'm pushing it through. So schedule. Yeah, so I'm doing the same thing here.
He was very interesting. Yeah, uh-huh. But I don't do that your whole fucking interview. I wait like 2 minutes.
Okay, I'm sorry. Let me do a real version of Jimmy here. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Okay. So he talked about the environment stuff. He'd been at Otterbein. His father had been at Otterbein like a while ago. And it was really interesting. He was cool. And now I'm not going to say anything else because I'm annoyed. Okay, Celebrity Apprentice this week. Go ahead, Nick. Let's go. Celebrity Apprentice was awesome.
You are a piece of trash. And you know what? You know what? Your unborn kids are fucking trash. And you know what? I blame you for everything in my life. Everything.
Nigel and... Nigel.
Pierce. Nigel.
Like, Pierce.
For all the English people out there, you're all Nigels to us. Thank you. I'm kidding. I'm so kidding.
Nick's a racist.
I'm a bigot. That's what I am.
Pierce and Alvarezza fought terribly. But for the first time ever in Apprentice history... Nobody got sent home because the
oh
team
my god, that
won
was badass.
Should not have won because then Omarosa could have been fired, and the team that lost.
This is the only reality show where I keep watching. That's like a contest. It just keeps getting fucking better and better and better.
It really does. We just showed Johnson on the board.
They don't. They need to do more normal apprentices. You need full Celebrity Apprentices and just keep that shit going. I'll pay for that shit.
Yeah. I agree.
No, I would pay, but anyway.
Jericho premiered this week. I have not been watching season 2. I didn't watch Reconstruction because I had never watched season 1.
My dad said it was really good. He really loved it. And by the way, the father is not dead. He actually is
in
the episode.
Oh, is he? Mm-hmm. IMDb just hadn't updated it yet.
His mother's not, but the father is.
Well, IMDb sometimes is slow about that stuff.
No, you're right. You're right. I just remember because you were asking me. So.
But yeah, Sci-Fi Channel is rerunning all the first season, and they rerun 4 episodes to premiere. So I watched the first 4 episodes of the series.
You dug
good.
It, yeah.
There were some glaring plot holes that kind of bothered me, but the acting was pretty solid and the plot hooked me, so I'm looking forward to catching up eventually and getting to season 2. I'm saving season 2 on the TV.
We're very excited for it.
New Adventures of Old Christine premiered this week. Nothing really to report there. I mean, it's as funny as it ever was, which is only a limited amount of funny. It was, you know,
it's a limited amount of funny.
It's okay. It's not like the best show on, but it's worth your 20 minutes, I guess. I mean, Julie Louis-Dreyfus. Thank God she broke
Julia? Not Julie.
I'm close friends with her. I call her Julie.
Do you? Are you tight?
We're tight.
Do you do each other's hair?
If you mean fucking each other.
In the ass.
If your hair gets messed up, then yes.
Wow. He
told you not to tell anybody that she fucked me in the ass.
And this is why we make gay jokes, everybody. This is why we make gay jokes.
I don't think we talked about it, but Cashmere Mafia and Lipstick Jungle have premiered, and one of them is Cashmere Mafia is by the TV show producers of Sex and the City.
I have
Lipstick
to ask.
Lipstick Jungle is like the book, Sex and the City.
Your girlfriend loves Sex and the City. Did she like the book, too?
What's that?
Did she like the book, too? Because, you know, because sometimes if you watch the show first, you can become a fan, and you read the book.
I don't know if she's right or not, but I'm sure she
does. Being that she liked the show,
I don't know if she's right, so I can't really answer.
That she liked the show, then, has she tried watching both shows?
No, being that they're
okay. Well, I was just seeing if Amanda had a pink, because
I think to her,
I saw on her Facebook she has.
No, Nick thinks that Lipstick Jungle's better.
The one that's based after the book,
right?
Which is what the show was based after. Right. Was based after its own book.
I think Cashmere Mafia is better. Cashmere Mafia has actors that I like, and the characters are sympathetic. Lipstick Jungle, mm-hmm. I like Kim Raver, but the other two, I can't stand Brooke Shields. I really can't. But Lipstick Jungle does have.
You
some
just
hot
don't
sex
like her
scenes.
Because you do that weird Tom Cruise laugh like you did tonight, and you also are mad because she used pills to make herself feel better about her life.
Whatever. Cashmere Mafia, I think's better, but Cashmere Mafia's the ratings suck. And it didn't fail. And Lipstick Jungle, they're calling a hit. So
I watched because he was watching it. I did watch both the pilot episodes of both when he was watching, because I was like right here in the studio, and Cashmere Mafia had a better cast. Like, in terms of looks and trying to do what they would do, but Lipstick Jungle, I thought, was more interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
And well, you also like Lipstick Jungle because, what was that actor's name? He's one of the main characters.
Andrew McCarthy.
There you go.
Yes.
There's only five main characters in Lipstick
Jungle. I'm sorry. Andrew McCarthy can do the most shit piece of B-film ever, and I will at least watch it once because it's the dude from fucking, you know, The Breakfast Club. No, he wasn't The Breakfast Club. I'm sorry. Weekend at Bernie's, St. Elmo's Fire. You know,
yeah.
Pretty in Pink.
Respect. The Breakfast Club, wasn't it?
But Andrew McCarthy? I thought it was Anthony Michael Hall, the guy from Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, played the sheriff.
Will Ferrell?
Not Will. Not the other. The other sheriff. Yes, the one that makes fun of him. The one that makes fun of Will Ferrell.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember his name.
He was in Steel. Anyway, him. Oh, no. We're thinking of Emilio Estevez.
Yes.
That's who we're thinking of. He played the jock. Anyway.
I really... But Kim Raver's husband's not in the cast. Like, the one girl just started dating Andrew McCartney, but he's in the main cast. And
fucking
Brooke Shields' husband.
Maybe he's like the Mr. Big.
He probably is. And Brooke Shields' husband has a British accent, so that's kind of fun. He's in the main cast. But Kim Raver's husband in the series isn't in the main cast, and she's been cheating on him with some young thang. So, I like Kim Raver. My fellow 24 fans call her Hatchet
you
Face.
Did some young
thang?
Thang, I did.
Wow.
I did.
Well, thank you there, Jim.
Flash Gordon on Sci-Fi Channel. It's
wow.
Okay, but it got so much better at the end of the season. They just aired the season one finale, and I watched like the last five episodes.
You also watched, which I'm sorry. Okay.
But it got a lot more political and involved and intricate, and it had a really cool cliffhanger ending. So I don't think it's been officially picked up for a second season, but I really hope it gets one because it's fun. But Friday night, I watched, and Nick watched a large part of it with me, the 1980 Flash Gordon movie with soundtrack by Queen. Cheesiest piece of shit ever made.
No.
So bad that it was entertaining. How
at the end
was.
Of the movie when he saved the day or whatever, mm-hmm. The weird Hawkman-like guys flew up in the air and spend a rose. Yeah, the thanks Flash. And they did the cheesy song, but like during the fight scene with the bad guy, it was leading up to like wasn't really a fight, was it? It was just more like just staring off, and then he got run through.
Yeah.
Was Queen soundtrack going? Flash Gordon.
Exactly.
And you're just like, because at that point I got like, whoa, this is like too bad. So I turned around and then I heard, Max Fonseca played the bad guy, and he looks like Fu Man fucking Chew.
And they had a bunch of like tinfoil costumes. The dialogue and the plots were so cheesy. Sam Jones played Flash. He meets Dale, the girl, on the plane. 5 minutes later, they're in love and communicating telepathically. 6 hours later, which is like.
In the movie.
They're engaged. And then she's like, you have to marry the emperor. But I just got engaged. What the fuck? And that was just cheesy. That and the Hawkman abandons Flash, and as soon as they get, like, run away, the Hawkman's sitting there, he's like, I feel so bad. If only you were alive. And then Flash radios and he's like, I'm alive. How do I get to you? And he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I feel bad for running. Would you give an old bird a second chance?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, my God. That is so
And I will. I said this to him, too, and Jimmy, I think, was sort of getting into that point. He was like, yeah, okay. The guy, one of the henchmen of the Fu Manchu, Max Boncito, was a guy that looked like Dr. Doom. And it looked so much... It was like a gold mask version of Dr. Doom, but it looked better than the fucking new version that has much better special effects.
But when he melted and his eyeballs popped that out, was like Raiders of the Lost Ark, it was awesome.
Imagine American Gladiators, but with like fucking Indiana Jones spikes. You have like a tourney table like the moving up and down.
The spikes came in and out.
And yeah, the Hawk guy's like, let's turn on the game, and turns the spikes on the remote, and the spikes come up and come down.
Oh, the other great part was when they're wiping Dr. Zarkov's memory and Hitler flashes across the screen, and the one henchman goes, that was a man with some potential. Like, they're so blatantly evil that they have no good side. There's no, like, three dimensions to the characters. They're all evil. And then Zarkov somehow was superior enough to overcome, by thinking of freedom and goodness, he overcame the mind wipe from superior technology. It was stupid.
Tonight I dine on Flash Gordon soup.
Honestly, I think everybody should see that movie once. Because it was so bad.
I bet you anything that's going to be your movie for March, isn't it? Make us watch Flash fucking Gordon.
No, you already watched it with me, so most of it.
I can comment on it now.
Yeah, no, it's not going to be my movie. Stuart and Colbert came back on Wednesday. Yep. The other late host also came back. But after only 2 days, they are taking the next 2 weeks off. I think a lot of that has to do with John hosting the Oscars.
Yeah.
They took several days off for the Oscars last time he did it. Not the whole 2 weeks. But yeah, they're going dark for 2 weeks, which kind of pisses me off because they just got the writers back.
Yeah.
But Colbert needed his writers back. I'm sorry. I love Steven. I worship the ground he walks upon. He needed his writers.
It's good to have the Colbert report back.
Colbert was doing all right.
Daily he did show. A ton of double
I thought was much better movies. Without the writers.
I thought it didn't lose.
Well, John is a very smart individual anyway.
He's a veteran.
Well, he is a veteran, but, I mean, he has very strong views. And the Daily Show always came out with the Daily Show always did those, but the writers sort of punched up and made it more friendly for everyone.
Right.
Jon Stewart, though, without the writers, was much more clear-cut of what he was doing.
Yeah.
No, yeah, like, he still was sort of hitting around the bases, but still driving his viewpoints home more than when the writers were there, I thought, and it proved more entertaining because, and of course, they openly had to joke about how they didn't have writers, so we're sorry if it sucks. You know what? And
I didn't see it as better, but I thought it was just as good.
Did you see Colbert when he called all his like writers ran in?
And did you notice? First, I saw Tiki Barber, and I'm like, "What the hell's Tiki Barber?" And then Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
Oh my god! I yelled at
one other guy. I can't remember who it was though.
Oh, those are the only two I caught. He just said Kevin, and he hands Kevin Bacon a pencil. They never acknowledge him. He just gives the group photo, and then the mascot of the Mets came out last.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who was that guy with the big purple fuzzy thing with the big nose? Oh,
but
I mean, some of those were definitely writers of his, but some of them weren't, and it was just bizarre because he's like, "Thanks for the writers."
Monk.
Oh yeah, you wanted to review part one of the season finale.
Yeah, I'll have.
Oh, we should review the sex season finale too, but do Monk first.
Well, my thing with Monk is the reason why I do want to review it is, and I've talked about Monk before. It's a funny show. Don't get me wrong, I love the show, but and the problem is it was why ABC and all the big three networks they're finding new ways to do the situation like drama shows like CSI. Like, hate, love it or hate, like when the show first came out, they had a new way of going about doing like a cop show.
Yeah.
In saying like life is doing a new thing with the cop show. The cop is convicted, so he's trying to do good things, but also trying to they're just trying to find. Eli Stone is a lawyer show, but they add a new little twist to it. That's technically what Monk was. The only problem is that halfway through season three, like I think the second season after Sharona left with what's her name, they stopped focusing on the whole Trudy thing. Like he would have a lapse or something, but. He was, like, trying to find out who fucking killed Trudy. And it bothered him. And every season finale, they would end with it. And for the last few years, like, he wouldn't... I mean, he would talk about it or something, but he stopped trying to find Trudy's killer. And I thought that at that point, the show jumped the shark. And the show was funny. And I still watch it, but it wasn't as good as it was.
Does Kate love that show?
What's that?
Nate loves that show.
I think Nathan does love that show. Matter of fact, Nathan was the one who told me to watch it, and I got really into it so much. I bought the first season, and I got really into it. Got my dad into it, and the first part is called Mr. Monk on the Run. Uh-huh. And he finds the person who made the bomb that killed Trudy, but when he goes there to confront him, he almost shoots him.
Okay.
And then the killer gets shot. The only problem is we don't know if Monk did it or someone else is trying to frame him. And why, we don't know. At the end of the episode, Captain Stottlemyre shoots Monk and kills him, supposedly.
Yeah.
Which, and it was about Trudy again. It became very good. Mm-hmm. And I hope that they keep sort of touching back on that occasionally. But so I'm excited for next week. I'll review next week as well. But you want to do Psych now?
Yeah, I thought it was good. It was definitely a different tone.
Yeah.
A little darker, a little more.
Well, I think the guy who created the show, Steve Franks, he also does the song, you know, I Know You Know. Mm-hmm. He created the show. He doesn't usually write the episodes. He usually directs, but not write.
Right.
He wrote last night's episode. Guster, or Gus, was a bit
Bert
of a...
Vernon Guster?
Yeah, Vernon Guster. He was a bit of a fucking douche.
He was.
Yeah. Like, usually it's Sean takes advantage of him. Mm-hmm. He says one little quip back, mm-hmm. and then he's a puppy dog. He just follows whatever Sean does. He was fighting with Sean the entire time, and to the point where... It was almost embarrassingly funny. Not
it
like
it was a little uncomfortable.
It was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was still funny, but it was just whoa.
Hey, did we ever find out
what growing it back?
Dad was doing Saturday Night. I can't remember now.
I don't want to ruin that for those who watch the show.
Did we find out? Oh yeah. Gotcha.
I'm not going to ruin that in case you do watch the show out there.
There was a huge twist, which I called. He starts.
You called it 2 seconds before it opened the door.
But as the doorbell rang.
And I tried to throw you off of that, too, because I watched it before he did.
The doorbell rang, and I'm like, but Nick caught something that he pointed out to me that the chief and Sean had been working together the whole episode.
Yes. If you get a chance, watch it once. Go back probably, I think, 10 minutes into the episode.
Something like that.
And watch the interaction between Sean and the chief. And
right.
it pays off.
Pretty cool. And we were both struck by a really great shot they did that was West Wing-esque, where they walked through several exhibits. And
yeah, that was bad. And Gus, you told me, was
Gus,
on.
Gus starred in the West Wing for the first six years. And then he eventually, to do Psych, when Psych began, he went to part-time on the West Wing and only ended up doing like 3 episodes in the last season. But it was because he was making Psych.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So Gus was the president's aide, and then he got fired and immediately got hired on as part of the full West Wing staff because he was in grad school when they hired him, and the deal was once he got a graduate degree, they were going to dismiss him because he was just an aide. He opened doors for the president, you know?
Yeah.
He didn't do anything important. Mm-hmm. So the president, true to his word, fired him, and immediately the chief of staff turned around and hired him on as a full member of the staff. So that was a sweet episode. But he was never officially, like, left in the last season, but he just stopped appearing because he was doing Psych. And by the last season, everybody went to part-time status because they were so focused on every other episode was on the campaign trail with Jimmy Smits. And every once in a while,
Alan Alda.
Well, Alan Alda really got very little play. It was mostly Jimmy Smits. It was by and large Jimmy Smits. Alan Alda was in, like, 3 or 4 episodes of the last season.
And I heard the big twist was supposedly was going to be...
focused Alan Alda. Well, the big twist of West Wing was Alan Alda was supposed to win, but then McGarry, John Spencer, who played Leo McGarry, who was the vice president for Jimmy Smits.
He's been in a bunch of... He was in a bunch of, like, The Rock and those type of movies.
On the show, he had health problems.
Michael Bay.
He was the chief of staff for, like, the first 5 seasons, 5.5 seasons. He had a heart attack on the show. Uh-huh. So he was... he had also been fired, so he kind of went down and became just an advisor. And when Jimmy Smits geared up and got the party's nomination, he took him on as his vice president. He was old, but whatever, he's got party support, powerful voice. In real life, he died in the middle of the final season. And what they had filmed up to then was they were all the way up to the election episode in filming. So when they did the election episode, they decided he wasn't in it. At the end of the election episode, they go to tell him that they won, and they find his character dead in the bathroom, which made sense because of his health problems, but it added a whole new layer because everybody knew he was dead. And the actors, having been friends with this guy for 7 years on the show, were really affected. You could tell it wasn't just acting. It was they really felt, and they really did pay a nice homage to him in the final episode. But his death was very important, and the people running the show just felt that, how can we have this guy have his vice president die on him and he loses the election? We can't do both. So they went ahead and had him win the election.
Face facts, Mama Bear, your ego is prego.
They had only done Alan Alda, like, sporadically. I think the only full Alan Alda episode was after he lost. Because they said, just go home and give up and you're done, whatever. And he's like, no, I have to contact all my supporters. I have to show up for work. I can't give up on this just because I lost. And mm-hmm. you really see what a great guy Alan Alda is. And Patricia Richardson, who was Jill on Home Improvement, was his campaign manager, which was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, psych. Yeah, Dooley Hill was on West Wing.
And way to,
on
way to bring and that nicely back. And so they did a
West Wing camera thing. Because West Wing was famous for the big long shots through the halls.
Yeah.
Cool. That was all I had to review.
Me too. John, did you watch anything else?
What did I watch? I watched American Idol. That's...
I did not watch that this week. Yeah.
I mean, it was all right. I mean,
the instruments had a cool layer to it.
Yes and no. I mean, there was some crappy instrument players.
I'm sure.
Ooh.
Yeah. And that probably is going to hurt them more than help them.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if... I mean, I assume that they'll be able to play them
in Hollywood, during the final 12.
Yeah, during the regular season and stuff. Yeah. But
I don't know.
Some of them helped them, some didn't. Most of them kind of hurt, though.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Because I was excited about the instruments. I thought that was a cool idea.
Yeah. I didn't really watch anything else. What else was new this week?
Not much.
Not really much.
Except for Eli Stone.
Eli Stone, but that's it's just been getting better. But that's nothing else really to...
Yeah, other than Colbert and, like, Stewart.
Yeah, I mean, they're done. I finished those last two this morning.
Do you guys watch Big Brother?
No.
They're doing a winter season. Yeah. First time they ever done that. I've always because liked Big strike. Brother.
That's
one of the original ones, you know.
Was it like Survivor. Second after Survivor or something?
Yeah, it was second after Survivor. And it's just great because, I mean, it's just people living in a house and you just get to see how people get on each other's nerves.
Is there somebody from Ohio in this time around?
Two of them.
Two of them?
Yeah, the whole thing.
Is Will born star? Is Will back?
What's that?
Isn't there a porn star this year? I saw something about that in the paper this week. They discovered one of them was a porn star.
I mean, they might have.
Is Will back? He won Big Brother 3?
It's the whole theme of this year is it's called Till Death Do You Part.
Oh, so it's couples.
And you're playing in teams.
Oh.
One of the teams is a couple that have been dating for like 12 years, and they broke up like right before the show started. And then they both got into the house, but they didn't know that each of them were going to be in the house. So they walk into the house and see each other, and then they get paired with each other, but no one else in the house knows really that they were dating and that they have this big thing. So they're kind of, you know, and like they pair everyone up with someone who they have all taken these personality tests and relationship tests and stuff. And they match them with someone that is their perfect soulmate.
Aww.
And those two people get
linked up together.
Paired together. Which is kind of funny.
Sweet.
And there's like a couple from...
It's ironic, too.
And...
So the broke up couple, they're soulmates.
What's that?
The couple that's broken up, they're soulmates.
Now the couple that has been... That's from Ohio State. They've been dating for, I think, 9 months, they said. But they get paired up...
With other people.
But no one knows that they are dating in real life... And all that stuff, so they're kind of playing
both sides
and all that, and then everyone else just kind of gets paired up with all this. And, like, there's an old couple that, like, an when I say old, like
40s,
no, like
30s,
like higher
60s. Oh, okay,
and low 30s.
I was gonna say that's not kind of the demographic for what CBS is trying to,
you know. So,
well, Nick and I are both very excited about your dad is better than my dad. No, we're not.
We're not gonna watch that shit.
We have taste.
I will say, when I was in Cincinnati, I got hooked on two shows.
Yeah.
Shows I didn't watch. One of them I continued watching. As a matter of fact, I just bought the entire series, and that was Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yeah.
Love that show. Mm. And Big Brother 3, which is when it was Will. And I remember...
Boogie, right?
Yes. And Will... Teresa or something was the final two.
Yeah, yeah.
And the whole thing is that all the old cast members... Teresa lied to everybody behind their backs, and Will always, if he betrayed anyone,
he told
him, he's like, listen, I'm lying to you.
He told everyone that he was lying, and still kept them in the damn show.
Right, and at the end of the game, when he won, I don't know how the hell he did it.
At the end of the game, yeah, he wins, because
the speech he gave afterwards, he goes like, listen, because some people start going, really? Wait a minute. We voted for Will to win, and he wins. And he goes, so, do you have anything to say to your housemates who voted? He's like, listen, I'm sorry you guys suck. Because I lied all to your faces.
Yeah.
Or when you ask me, I tell you that I'm backstabbing you.
Yeah.
And you still let me do it. And you know what? I feel no sympathy for any of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was surprising. It's like, really? What the fuck? I'm like,
yeah. I also watched You've Got Mail this week on Valentine's Day.
He's a really smart guy.
Yes, he was.
He's a doctor.
Is he really? I did not know that.
He's a plastic surgeon, actually.
Oh.
He's on that
Doctor Nip Tuck. Doctor, oh.
They show him on that every now and then.
Yeah, the only other thing I watched You've Got Mail on Valentine's Day.
Yep.
Okay. There's some good lines to make fun of in that movie. I mean, it's a good movie, but there's some good lines to make fun of.
Yeah.
That's
I think that's the end of the show, yeah.
Next week we have our Oscar. Well, we may or may not have our Oscar results, depending on if the Oscars have aired when we record. We have a song with the ex-presidents. A couple ex-presidents are coming into the studio. And we have The Good, the Bad, and the Geeky Apprentice Celebrity Edition. Now, granted, we have not done a non-celebrity edition, but we have six contestants, all celebrities.
If you listen to the show before, you will recognize, hopefully,
several
the people you hear.
Not everybody that's competing has been on the show before, but most of the people.
Most of the people, yeah.
Have been on the show before. So we have a list of six contestants. We're going to do two teams of three.
Can you throw out one name out there for our listeners? That way we can entice them a bit.
Sure, absolutely. I'll throw out two.
Ooh.
Do you want two? Or you want more?
Do two. I'm wanting to know what two you're going to say. I have a theory of one.
We have signed Edgar J. Cloverfield to return.
Okay, I wasn't expecting you to say that name. Okay, what's the other one?
Dr. Phil is coming back to the studio.
Wow, I thought you would go a completely different direction with that.
Which one did you think? Just point to my list. Which one did you think I was going to go?
Where is it? Where are they at? Where are the names? Oh, yeah, right there. Wait, what's this one?
It should be
Yeah.
Yeah, Nick's looking over the list, which we're not going to reveal the complete list that we have signed. Don't say that one, because that one, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. No. I thought you jokingly said something else, like from the Christmas show, the other person, and I thought you were being serious.
Uncle Patrick?
Yes, I thought that's what you were going
to
say. I was
talked
like,
to Uncle Patrick. He's got a prior commitment.
Oh, we're all very excited about that commitment, aren't we?
Well,
he is very eager to come back.
Saint Patrick's Day is coming up.
And he said he's very eager to come.
To have to prepare.
Well, he is coming.
For the month-long
celebration
of...
It's true, but he said he would make time to stop by our studio during St. Patrick's Day and make an appearance.
Okay.
But no, he did not have time to do our audition. We have six great contestants. Dr. Phil and Edgar J.
Okay. All right. Well, don't ruin any more. Don't ruin any more because it's...
I will. We have four.
I swear I thought his name was on there. That's why I was like, he's going to say
Patrick?
This name. Yeah, and Uncle Patrick.
Nope.
Say whatever else and Uncle Patrick.
Uncle Patrick is not able to make it.
Okay. So, all right. Well, I think that's all we got. Anything else besides that?
Nope.
All right, on behalf of everyone, thanks for listening to The Good, the Bad, and the Geeky. See you next week.
See ya.
Bye.
Get out of here with that cheese! You're a creep! Go away! We're having a good time until you start a cheapers! Go have some coffee with cream or something! Because I'll tell you something! This is a happy place!